الحمد لله وكفى والصلاة والسلام على سيدنا المصطفى صلى الله تبارك وتعالى عليه وعلى آله وصحبه وبارك وسلم تسليما كثيرا. أما بعد، فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. والذين هم لفروجهم حافظون إلا على أزواجهم أو ما ملكت أيمانهم فإنهم غير ملومين. فمن ابتغى وراء ذلك فأولئك هم العادون. وعن أبي هريرة رضي الله تعالى عنه وعنهم قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم: لا يزني الزاني حين يزني وهو مؤمن، إلى آخر الحديث. آمنت بالله، صدق الله مولانا العظيم، وصدق رسوله النبي الكريم، ونحن على ذلك لمن الشاهدين والشاكرين، والحمد لله رب العالمين. Respected ulama ikram, elders and brothers, sisters who may be listening over the receivers, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. I had thought of speaking on a certain topic at today's Jummah discussion. Until yesterday evening, when a person related to me an incident which was very concerning. And therefore I considered the Jummah platform as an amanat and a place where we have to convey the most relevant things that are happening so that we can strive to correct ourselves and better ourselves as better Muslims. And therefore I thought about speaking about the topic that we will discuss today, inshallah. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam said in one hadith, which is narrated by Hazrat Abu Umama radiallahu ta'ala anhu, in which Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam and our Hazrat Mawlana Yunus Sahib also, rahmatullah alayhi, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala fill his qabr with nur, he narrated this hadith on many occasions. Hazrat Abu Umama radiallahu ta'ala anhu says, أن رجلا سأل رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم ما الإيمان. That Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam was asked by a man, one of the Sahaba who came to him, and this person asked, Mal Iman, what is Iman? And Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam replied, and what a beautiful, concise reply Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam gave. He said, إِذَا سَرَّتْكَ حَسَنَتُكْ وَسَاءَتْكَ سَيِّئَتُكْ فَأَنْتَ مُؤْمِنٍ. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam said, when your good deeds give you pleasure and your bad deeds cause you pain and concern, then you are a believer. And if your good deeds do not give you any joy, any pleasure, or you just do it mechanically, and your bad deeds don't cause you to shed any tears or don't cause you any pain, then you need to question the validity of your iman. We are living in times, really, respected congregation, in which evil seems to be the order of the day. No one considers it harm, bad and evil to do anything wrong. Rather, they consider it a tribute, a feather in their cap, and they even brag and boast about it. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam said in another hadith that a time will come close on to Qiyamah when people will stop enjoining what is good and forbidding from what is evil. The Sahaba ikram radiallahu ta'ala anhum were absolutely shocked, amazed. They could never ever believe that such a time would ever come. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam said that a time will come close on to Qiyamah when two people will commit zina in the street and no one will have the himmat and the courage to stop them from committing that indecent act. Whereas the slightest disobedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is supposed to cause such pain. It reminds me of an incident our Shaykh Hazrat Maulana Hakim Muhammad Akhtar Sahab Damat Barakatum, he said that his Shaykh Maulana Abdul Ghani Phulpuri Rahmatullah Alayhi on one occasion was going and he saw two people committing sin. And that day it affected him so much that there was blood in his urine on that day. That is how much it affected him. Nevertheless, the Sahaba Ikram radiallahu ta'ala anhum asked Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, wa inna dhalika laka'inun ya Rasulullah. Will ever such a time come that people will stop enjoining what is good and forbidding what is evil? Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam said, na'am wa ashaddu minhu. Yes, and even worse than that. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam said, kayfa bikum idha ra'aytumul munkara ma'rufan wal ma'rufa munkara. What will your condition be when you start considering evil to be good and good to be evil? And this is the place that we have reached, the times that we have reached. In the past week or so, and yesterday was just the thing that led me on to speak on this topic, in the last week or 2 weeks, the number of emails, telephone calls, cases that we have received with regards to cases of zina, fornication and adultery happening in the Muslim community, is unreal. How can a Muslim be one who is committing zina when Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam said that la yazni zani hina yazni wa huwa mu'min? That a mu'min, that a person who commits zina and fornication, when he is committing that indecent act, his iman leaves his body. In another hadith, Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam says, Hazrat Abu Huraira radiallahu ta'ala anhu narrates, and he says that إِذَا زَنَ الْعَبْدُ خَرَجَ مِنْهُ الْإِيمَانِ. When a believer commits the indecent act of zina, adultery or fornication, then iman comes out of his body. فَكَانَ كَالذُّلَّةِ فَوْقَ رَأْسِهِ فَكَانَ فَوْقَ رَأْسِهِ كَالذُّلَّةِ. It hangs suspended above his head. And then when he completes that indecent, immoral act, then the iman again enters the body. What an indecent act. Can you imagine if the death of a person has to happen in that particular state? May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect us. Over the last few weeks, just to mention a few incidents that we have been faced with, without of course mentioning any names or any places so people do not allow their minds to wander, but just for us to know and understand that this is a reality, it is happening in our midst. Yesterday a person told me that, Maulana, my neighbor, the husband works in one firm, the wife works in another firm. The husband works in one firm and the wife is working in another firm. And during the week, three times during the week, the wife brings home different men during the lunch break. And the husband does not know about it. In another incident, the wife is telling the husband that she is going out with someone late at night. In another incident on email, the person says, Maulana, I committed zina with a married woman and now what must I do? Loads and loads of cases like this. And it doesn't bring any sort of satisfaction, like our Hazrat Maulana Rahmatullah Ali used to say, that drinking salty water does not quench a person's thirst, it only increases a person's thirst. It does not bring any sort of happiness, any solace to the heart. If anything, it causes more problems, more anxieties, more worries. Wallahi al-Azim, there was a person who came to the offices in Sikau Lake, a youngster, and he sat in front of the desk, and he started sobbing and crying. And I said, what is wrong with you? Tell me what's wrong. He said, Maulana, I went to see a girl. And I like her, I want to marry her. So I said, that's a very good thing, why are you crying? And he literally couldn't contain himself. He had to sob for a few moments. And he was dressed in a kurta with a beard. He says that, "Maulana, I was not like this 2 years ago. I was involved in every sort of evil and I fear that I may be HIV positive." Yemana maasiyat mein mujrimana thori lazzat hai, yemana maasiyat mein mujrimana thori lazzat hai, magar us palne wale se ye kaisi baghawat hai, zara si der ki lazzat hamesha ki nadamat hai, janaza aabru ka dafn karna ya kaisi himaqat hai." He says, "I accept that there is a little bit of enjoyment in haram pleasures. Who says there is no enjoyment? There may be for that moment a little bit of pleasure, a little bit of satisfaction. Yamana maasiyat mein mujrimana thori lazzat hai. There may be a little bit of enjoyment. Magar us palne wale se ye kaisi baghawat hai. But the one who is nourishing us and sustaining us, the one who is giving us strength in our bodies, we use that very same strength to transgress against his laws and his commands. Magar us palne wale se ye kaisi baghawat hai. Zara si der ki lazzat hamesha ki nadamat hai. For a few moments of pleasure, and it is lifelong disgrace, regret. Lifelong disgrace. Now if the person becomes HIV positive, then what? So the media tries to counter that. I met a person recently. By recently I mean a few months ago. And he told me, a Muslim person told me, that you know what? HIV is no more a death sentence. Those were his words. In other words, the media is trying to play a role and say that it's nothing to be frowned upon. It's one of the norms in society. Whereas it is an azab of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for many of those who commit the evil and sinful act. If, of course, a person contracts HIV because of no fault of his, then this is not an azab from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It would be a test for such a person. But if HIV is contracted through sin and vice, then a person needs to open his eyes and make tawbah and istighfar and cry before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Zara si der ki lazzat hamesha ki nadamat hai, janaza aabru ka dafn karna ye kaisi himaqat hai. What stupidity it is to bury with your own hands the respect, the honor, the dignity that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has blessed every single human being on the face of this earth. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has blessed us with it, and just for a little few moments of pleasure we go and bury that dignity, that honor and respect that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has blessed us with. Islam is not a religion which does not recognize human needs and desires and urges. Islam is a religion which recognizes every part of that. Unlike other religions, where if you want to reach a high spiritual status, if you want to be a pious person in those religions, then you are not allowed to satisfy your sexual desires. Islam does not demand you that of us. All Islam says is that there is a permissible framework in which you can do it, and don't transgress the bounds with regards to that. One of the salient qualities of the servants of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, of the believers, is قَدْ أَفْلَحَ الْمُؤْمِنُونَ. Of the believers, the successful believers, is وَالَّذِينَ هُمْ لِفُرُوجِهِمْ حَافِظُونَ. It is that they safeguard their chastity, their private parts. They safeguard their private parts. إلا على أزواجهم أو ما ملكت أيمانهم فإنهم غير ملومين. Except, of course, if it is in a permissible avenue with their wives, then that is perfectly in order. And if anything, a person is even rewarded for the act. When Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam told the Sahaba ikram radiallahu ta'ala anhum, the Sahaba ikram was shocked. "Ya Rasulullah, will we be rewarded for going to our wives?" Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasalam said, "Do you not see that if you had to fulfill this desire of yours in the wrong place. In other words, you had to commit fornication and adultery. Would you be punished for it? The Sahaba said, yes. So if you do it in the correct manner, then you will be rewarded for it as well. So Islam is not a hard and difficult religion. Every person can reach those stages. But it is about taking that upon ourselves. And I just want to spend the last few minutes of the discussion today to discuss some practical aspects. Because it's all very well to say that zina is wrong and we shouldn't be committing zina. But the reality of the matter is that we are being invited by the environment around us to commit all sorts of indecent acts and sins and vices against Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And therefore we need some sort of guidance as to how we can protect ourselves from this. At the outset, it must be stated that whatever the environment is, that is no excuse. Zamana humko badal sake, ye zamane mein dam nahi. Zamana khud hum se hai, hum zamane se nahi. The environment cannot change a Muslim and a believer. We are the ones who make our environment. Mufti Shafi Sahib rahmatullah alayhi said, we are the ones who make our environment. And therefore, everything is in our hands. We cannot say that we are forced by the pressures around us, the pressures of the media and the peer pressures and client pressures and so forth and so on, and say that we are obliged and we don't have any volition or choice in the matter and we just go headlong into sin. That is a deception of shaitan. We have every volition and we can keep away from it, provided there is a will. Where there is a will, there is a way to change. Nevertheless, Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam said in one hadith, that zina al-ayni an-nazar. It is, if I'm not mistaken, it is a hadith of Bukhari Sharif, in which Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam said, that zina of the eyes is to cast lustful glances. Zina of the eyes is to cast lustful glances. So the very first thing is that we need to make sure that we lower our gazes. No matter how rude and uncouth it looks, that you are not having eye contact when speaking to a female member of the staff or a female client, no matter how couth and unrespectable it may look, of course you have to do it with dignity, with honor, but the reality of the matter is that there is no need to raise those glances more than what is necessary. And then, unnecessary viewing and surfing of the internet, unnecessary posting of activities and viewing those activities of other people on social media networks like Facebook and Twitter and so forth. Wallahi al-Azim, I ask people when their cases, when we deal with a lot of marital cases, and we try our best to resolve those cases, but when it reaches to the point when the couple have to divorce, and is going on to a divorce, I ask the people, look, you don't have to respond to me, but I just want to ask for my purposes, so that I know, you people were so poles apart, no compatibility from the beginning, how did you ever meet? 90% of them say we met on the computer, on Facebook, on Twitter, on these sort of social media sites, in chat rooms. Those marriages don't last. Let us not fool ourselves. If we have a will and we want to stop, then we have to avoid unnecessary surfing on the internet, and there's no two ways about it, period. That is it. We have to avoid, you don't have to post every action that you are doing on your Facebook profile. That doesn't have to be the case. Yes, in as far as it can be used in a permissible manner, that's fine. But most of the time, it can't be used in a permissible manner. You can't limit your use of it in a permissible manner. The minute you go onto anyone's Facebook page, then there are hundreds and thousands of little pictures there of females, of members of the opposite gender, and then we can't just control ourselves and we feel like, let's just say a hi or a hello, or how you doing, or sometimes we are reminded of old friends. A person committed zina, and he sent an email in this last week or 10 days. And he says in that letter, he committed zina and we gave him the advice and so forth. He sent a response to us. He said that, Maulana, the girl is telling me, she sent an email and I'm copying that email down at the bottom, a married woman. And she says that, alright, we won't, these are the words written in that email. We won't get down to hanky-panky, but at least, in as far as we are Muslim brothers and sisters are concerned, we can still carry on chatting on the internet. Na'uzu billahi min dhalik. Look at the deception of shaitan. Look at the deception of shaitan. Zinal ayni an-nadhar. We have to protect our gazes and our glances from looking at haram. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when He asks us to perform salah, He says men and women perform salah in one verse. When He asks us to give zakat, or believers give zakat in one verse, men and women. When He asks us to lower our gazes, such importance is given to it. O men, believing men, lower your gazes and guard your chastity. And separately, O believing woman, you lower your gazes and you guard your chastity as well. لَعَنَ اللَّهُ النَّاظِرَ وَالْمَنْذُورَ إِلَيْهِ. May the curse of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala be upon the one who casts lustful glances. And may the curse of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala be upon the one who decorates or beautifies himself or herself to be looked at. May the curse of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala be upon such a person. I'm not cursing. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam is cursing such a person. And then when something happens in our life, then we shouldn't go and look for some amil to write us a taweez, because that taweez is not going to help. This is the curse of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala upon a person. We need to seriously introspect, look into our lives and change these aspects. So this is something which is very, very important. The second aspect through which we can try and improve in this regard is asbab-e guna se mubada'at, to keep away, mubada'at, to keep away from the asbab of guna, things that will lead us on to sin, things that will, are the means to committing sin. Because just as how namaz is farz, anything that is required for that salah is also farz and obligatory. Like, namaz is farz. So, and in order to have namaz, you have to have wuzu. So to make wuzu is also farz then. To keep away from guna is obligatory. Anything that will lead you to guna and sin as well is obligatory and necessary, and you have to abstain from those things as well. Anything that can lead you to a person. If a person finds that he is attracted by the voice even of a female, then he has to avoid listening to that voice of the female as well. If he finds that just a little glance will cause him to engage in sin, then he has to abstain from that. And a very beautiful little prescription our Hazrat Maulana Hakim Muhammad Akhtar Sahab Damat Barakatum he gives, he says that عَدْمِ قَصْدِ نَزَرْ, when you're leaving your house, عَدْمِ قَصْدِ نَزَرْ كَافِي نَيَّ, it is not sufficient just to have no intention to look. It is not sufficient just to have no intention to look. That means a person walks out of his house, he got no intention to cast any lustful glances. He says that's not sufficient. What is required in this time and age is قَصْدِ عَدْمِ نَزَرْ. We must make intention not to look. And that is what is required. We have to go out every single day with a new resolve, with a new determination, that look, oh my Allah, we are not going to displease and cause any, go against any of your commands, any of your rules, your regulations. And this is something which is so important, so important. At the end of the day, dear friends, just to round off, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala commands us to do things and asks us to abstain from things for our own benefit. He does not benefit from that in a single way. If we practice upon it, if we abstain from the prohibitions, we are the 100% beneficiaries. And therefore we have to make an ardent effort. As far as zina is concerned, it is such an evil act that Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam said, iman leaves the body when a person is committing such an act. And then nafs and shaitan try and instigate us and deceive us in different ways. Therefore we have to make sure, another little prescription is, to stay in touch with good company. Don't allow yourself to remain in seclusion when you're viewing the internet. If you have to see the internet or you have to check something out, then do it in a place where you're not secluded. So you are not tempted, or the chances of temptation become less. Frequent the gatherings of the pious servants of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. All of this will have an effect in helping us to change. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala save us from the evil act. Of course, another very important thing is to make dua. Allahumma arhamna bi tarkil ma'asi. Oh Allah, have mercy upon us by allowing us to keep away from sins. Wa la tushqina bi ma'asiyatik. And oh Allah, do not make us despised because of sins. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us the tawfiq of amal, and may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect us from anything that causes his disobedience. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen.